Okay. Now we're recording.
Okay, the Zoom lady told me recording is in progress.
So, today we're going to talk about Twitter, or I guess social media for scientists and academics.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter. Have you used it? Just kind of off the bat.
Actually, right now I'm in a social media detox phase.
Okay.
Like I quit. I don't know whether we should call it X or Twitter. That, you know, I'm just going to use X or Twitter interchangeably, so I'm not getting sued right now, just so the disclaimer's out. Anyway, so I don't know. I mean, I used Twitter. Oh my God, Jason is calling. So I used Twitter when I was a grad student, and also, you know, starting off the postdoc. Stopped using it when Mr. Musk took over for all the obvious reasons. But honestly, even Musk was just a catalyst, I would say, because even before that, you know, just after coming to US, just after seeing how social media is just so, like, it almost replaced LinkedIn, if you ask me, when it was active, right? What happened was, I mean, of course, you meet a lot of great scientists, yada, 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 all the science, great stuff. But I started comparing my worst science to people's best science. For example, if things are not running well, if my, you know, mice are dying, my experiments are not going well, then I open Twitter and I see all these scientists publishing Nature Cell Science. Then you're just like, wait, what? Yeah. So then I was feeling that then Musk happened, and, you know, it's like, no, this problem is not for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick and choose my problems.
Very heavy.
I was. I was.
But even just social media user for work and academic purposes.
I mean, so me, what I was using was that I like to see the postdocs, what kind of research they were doing, you know, just to see, for example, let's say, for lack of any better example, let's just take a CNS paper. You know, I found a cell paper. I'm going to be curious about the first author and who's the last author. Mm-hmm. What are their lab things and what are their previous publications?
Yeah.
You're a human. You're curious about these things. So Twitter is a great resource for that. And also, when you go through all the publications, you get to see, you know, how their thoughts shape up. You can also think like that. Oh, if you think like this, like, how can you, what is it, depend on your past research for your current projects and everything. You know, Twitter gives you so many perspectives like that. But at the same time, like I was telling you, it's a gray area, no? Like, that exists, this comparison exists. So how about you? How would you use Twitter? Or are you still using it?
No, I mean, I don't think I'm a heavy social media user. Just in general in my life, I kind of have bounced back and forth. Twitter was one I was, and this is classic Twitter before it became X. I was never a huge user of it until kind of the academic Twitter thing almost had like hit its bubble and started to pop. I feel like I was very late to it. And I think it's one of the reasons I think it's an interesting topic for us to discuss, because now that I never considered myself a heavy user of it to begin with, but now that it's gone, I miss it. And I think that's a weird, a weird thing, because I really did not recognize at the time the value of what it offered. And I didn't appreciate it when I had it. And maybe it was. So I was going to say that, like, I started using it once I started my academic, my faculty position, mostly as, like you described, to connect. And then same thing, I would find a paper, somebody would, you know, I would start following actual scientists. And I thought that was nice, because it was like, you know, you can follow these people and get to know who they are.
It kind
and
of
I liked what they
humanizes
shared.
Scientists, right? Humanizes science and scientists. Yeah.
And then I would find the people that shared a lot of stuff. And then I would find the people that I valued their opinion of what they shared. And then I would use that to kind of cultivate my list of papers to read and to search for, right? It kind of helped find a lot of things. I think we're in an age, and this is a like a different topic, but like we're in a information overload age, and I'm
Oh, yeah.
definitely not keeping up with what I want. So I never was a heavy user.
So you don't use like Instagram or
I mean, I have accounts
Facebook
and I've started,
or
like, I've gone back to some other ones for like my lab stuff. But I, even then, I'm like, have I posted in a couple weeks? Have I even checked it in a couple
I
weeks?
mean, let me ask you another question. I mean, you are a recent faculty. Do you feel pressurized to use Twitter and to show, hey, we are fun lab, we are not psychos, we are doing fun stuff and all that? Because many
No.
people do that. That's just asking.
I don't, maybe that's a benefit of Twitter kind of collapsing, academic trolling. I don't feel that now, right? I felt like it was something when I first started my lab was a valuable resource to get my name out, to start making connections. But
You know, with
I
all
don't
this
know. I
said,
don't know who's doing what. So this is kind of one of the topics I wanted to bring up later, is like, what are alternatives? But so maybe what we should do is back up and explain what academic Twitter kind of is, right?
or what it was,
Or what
and
it
well, what
was,
it
sorry.
was, and what it is now, both, I
So
guess.
for the listeners who are not familiar, Twitter became, I think, inherently popular because it would allow subgroups of society to collectively interchange ideas. And academic Twitter popped up, and the idea is that scientists like myself and yourself could, you could, you know, tweet whatever the hell you wanted, like, oh, I had a burrito for lunch today, right? But people took it to being like a work account, and they would share papers. They're like, hey, this paper came out. I don't know who they are. It's a great paper. Let's talk about it. Do that. Or I'm at this meeting. Let me share photos, right? I had dinner with this person. We talked about this, you know, and it was like you said, a way to humanize, and for me, really get to know the names on the papers that I'm reading. And there was a period of time where I really got a solid understanding of specific scientific spaces based on, like, I know this person. I know the kind of music this person listens to personally, but I know the music they listen to because they post about it. It gives me an appreciation
It
of who they are.
and it also makes it easier to connect when you meet them in conferences.
So you can say, I'm going to this meeting, and then advertise, right? I just published this paper. Here's a little synopsis of this paper. Please check it out and market it. I'm going to this meeting. Here's my students' posters. Go visit them or come see me. Right. And I
I think
think it was.
there are sorry, I think there are articles that says that if you put the link of your paper in Twitter or X, that gets more citation than if you don't do it.
Yeah.
I do believe it. I completely believe it.
100%. Right, because I would feel it was a way to become more visible, you know. And as a new faculty, literally starting up a lab, my challenge is to become more visible and make my
Absolutely.
science more visible. Whether you agreed
Absolutely.
with it or not, you know, could be arguable, but at least people knew who I was, or they could start being shared. So if you shared or retweeted or whatever it was, it helped, and I think that was so valuable, right? Preprints, you know, people would share their preprints, you know, their link to bioarchive, so you knew papers were in the work.
Now that you say all this, it reminds me of all this beauty Instagram and all this model influencer Instagram. It's the same thing. It's just the metrics is different, right? How many instead of liking my a new picture, it's like how many times my
Look
paper
at
is
this.
viewed, how
Look at
many
this
times
last
this
week.
link is viewed, right?
So
So,
it.
but again, it, like you were saying, it has a good thing, of course, like everyone gets the visibility, but that again comes with, see, let's not kid ourselves. There are so many egotistical scientists and
Oh, so that is
psychopaths, my God.
in my show notes. I have a note that was like, there's a lot of, it's also providing a voice for people that don't have a voice. And we
True, that
saw
is true as well. That is true.
the collapse of high-profile scientists on Twitter because of
That
their
was
ability
so
for
entertaining.
trainees to share abusive environments, abusive relationships. I don't think that would have happened without Twitter.
I mean, with that, it's like it didn't surprise me, but it did shock me. What it didn't surprise me that it was happening because, you know,
It
it's
happens.
come on, the reality is like that. But it shocked me to see how prevalent it was. And also, I think like before right now, it was the Twitter that kind of gave this solidarity between early career scientists like postdocs, early professors, and they started unionizing for, you know, and they started.
Unofficially union. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It gives them a unified voice to say, this is unfair. Did you know we're getting paid this? We think this is unfair because we know other people are getting paid this. I am being treated this way from my PI.
I agree.
And everybody can voice in and say that's not appropriate. And it gives them that voice. So
So
there's, I mean,
wait, do you
that's
think?
I think that's what I would frame as like, this is the positive thing. Whenever I say I don't real like I miss it now, those are the things that I kind of I don't have a way to get that now, right? I don't have a way, a perspective to.
Do you use Mastodon or Blue Sky, I guess? Like, do you use that?
Yeah,
Do
so
you?
there's a couple of alternatives, and I think that's so the next kind of topic is like, where do we go? And I think
Or
that's where a lot of the
you were
challenge is.
saying, right? You were just saying, what was Twitter? What do you think social media and science is right now?
I think it's not sure. It's I think there's a lot of options and a clear choice hasn't been made. Right. And so I think that's what made Twitter powerful is it was a unified outlet. Right.
I
Most
think
people that
also.
wanted to go there went there. But now we have threads, right?
I think one of the success of Twitter then was the lack of options and kind of a decent management too. So everyone could just go, and now there are so many options and everybody's either using one or the other or combinations, and it's
So
quite hard to get everyone under one roof.
Blue Sky, which was one of the, I guess one of the more enthusiastic alternatives to when
Why was
X.
it enthusiastic?
So what happened was, well, because it was the a lot of the people that worked at Twitter started it, and it basically was like the platform. I mean, if you've used it, it looks identical to it, right? The usability of it's pretty identical. You know, it kind of takes the same flavors and the same concepts that classic Twitter had, right? And that's what it's trying to use, which I, so it's good, right? But it's not a lot of people use it, right? Threads started. That's the Instagram Meta universe, which is
I
fine. And like,
used it
it's
for a
okay.
day.
Right, it's like it's the same feel, it's got the same kind of thing, but you know, I one thing I do like about Threads, and I say this not using it at all very much, but you can post on one platform like Instagram and it cross posts across everything. So as more options are available, it gets exhaust. I think the social media exhaustion kicks in when you're like, I have to post to this, and this, and this, and this. And then you just kind of lose all
Or
steam.
do you think all the big universities, at least in US ones, should come together and, I don't know, either start one or just point, give that direction, use that, use this, you know?
I don't know. Not all of them are on everything, right? So Blue Sky. Some people are on it. There's some biotech companies that are on it. There's some more academic scientists that are on it that are posting academic things, but not everybody. I know, like, my institution's not on it, right? I think Threads has the option, but because a lot of people may have Instagram accounts, I think you can automatically just get a Thread account. And so there's a lot of people. But nobody uses it in that sense, right? So it's.
After quitting X or Twitter, I made an account in LinkedIn. Oh God, it is. Oh my
What do
God,
you
it
think
is
of
such a
LinkedIn? So LinkedIn is
drab.
one that I feel like I've heard more and more people going back to, right? I
It is
don't.
again. I don't feel any enthusiasm. Just feel so. What is it? Like, that is how I think going to an office in 50s would feel like, or 50s or 60s would feel like.
Okay.
That's how I open LinkedIn. It's just so, everything is just so professional and proper. You know, one thing about the Twitter, another thing was that kind of sense of informality where people can be themselves and also be a scientist. You know, people can, I don't know, go get their nails done and post a picture about that, and also post a picture of, oh, this is the article I like, then this is the paper I published, you know, like, or my experiment is not working well, what will happen? In LinkedIn, I feel everything is just too template style, like too, it has to look proper. You have to wear a suit and you have to laugh in a proper angle. You know, everything is like doing drag pretty much. You know, everything is so performative.
I see. Oh, yeah.
And
I can see that. I mean, the history of
that
LinkedIn is basically this is part of your resume. This is your first impression to a potential employer, right? They don't want to see you out for drinks. They don't want to see you, right? What your kids are doing on the weekend. They don't want to see the fish you caught with your buddies or whatever it is, right? They want to see
It's
what your work corporate productivity has shown. And I feel like,
exactly.
no, I totally,
And
because
academic science.
I hear more and more people using LinkedIn more, but I don't even know if I can log in because I haven't checked it in so long. Maybe it's
Yeah,
one that I
that's
need to look
the
into more, though. Maybe it's
thing.
changing.
Please don't. I hope. Well, I don't want to be sued by LinkedIn, but it's like I don't know. I don't know, Zane. It's what is it? You know, most of the postdocs and PhD students and scientists I know, they go to their labs wearing sweatshirts and, you know, t-shirt, and they just go and they come back, you know. Like, one thing about these academic spaces that people prefer to come is the informality of it. You know, people can still be themselves while doing big science. The corporate world is very proper, strict. It has definite rules and everything, you know. So when I think LinkedIn is much more codified and for that direction, the corporate world, not the academic world. And Twitter kind of caught the soul of the academy, I would feel that. It can be serious. At the same time, it is not too restricted, you know. And LinkedIn, I don't know. I just feel very suffocated, to be very honest with you. Even if it's all these fake ass posts, and you know, it's just you open it and you're just like, ugh,
So
just
I
breathe,
did some
man.
digging on because this was one of the topics. I did some like have people looked at who posts on what platform preferentially, right? And so I've noticed kind of anecdotally, like Threads for me, I don't find any real science posted on it. I don't see the people. I go to a paper, I look them up on Threads. They may have an account, but they don't post like, hey, this is a paper I'm reading. This is a meeting. It's a lot of science communication folks, so SciComm, journalism and stuff like that. It's great to meet that. There's a lot of graduate students on there, so it's like posting about daily life of science. LinkedIn, what it came up as is it's like corporate bros, right? It's business people because that's its history. The people that use it are for business purposes, sharing business things and specifically corporate business things, not as you're saying, like protocols on how to do this thing or recent findings. Or, I mean, I even liked it when people were like, look at this shitty Western blot I ran. Oh my God, how horrible. What is that? Right? That's what I liked. Because that goes back to humanizing you. Like, yeah, you're gonna screw things up and there's gonna be issues, and it's nice to see not the perfect posed Instagram influencer account, right? Blue Sky, kind of in the middle. There's still some, they put it in, there's a lot of academic posts, but there's not a lot of people on it. I think if more people gravitated towards it, Mastodon, I think, is the same way. There's a couple of spaces, right? Blue Sky at the moment is a lot of computer science folks, not a lot of
I
life
didn't
science.
know.
I think Mastodon has a little bit more life science folks, probably a little bit more also computer science than like general science communication. But it's so infrequently populated that it almost makes it difficult to just use to make it worth it, right? So I thought that was interesting how like it's kind of subdivided. People have gone to their individual preferred platforms, whereas
I
Twitter
think
used
it'll
to kind of unify.
take time for it. I mean, take time in the sense I'm sure everybody will consolidate in one, in one platform. But to be honest with you, I think so much shit is happening around in the world. This is just people's last priority even. And right now people just want to be away from social media because like we were saying in the beginning, it is just an information overload all the time. So you just want to take a break with the election, the politics, my God. And, scientists getting political, all that.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So like where at this point, if we don't have these resources, right, with all of the benefits that Twitter had, collecting new papers, figuring out what's new and hot, networking and making connections, what do you do to do those things? Like what kinds of resources do you use?
Well, I used to, well, not now, I'm taking a break from Instagram, but I used to use Instagram quite a lot because what I did was, I befriend all these postdocs when I go to conference, right? And like after 2, 3 days, they are psychopaths, if they are normal people and all that. And the postdocs that you click with, you kind of form like a community. So we have Instagram groups, we have WhatsApp groups,
So
and
you're making
that,
those connections organically at meetings though. And
yeah,
then
and then,
you would use the social media platform just to stay connected.
Because we are meeting, we are having a drink after a talk, you just meet postdocs from so many different institutes,
Oh, that's interesting.
and then, I mean, of course, science is, in my opinion, science is getting more and more personal. It's so dependent on these personal relationships and bonds and everything. And I think Instagram is a good place, like quite alien as to Twitter. And also since it's been there for a long time, I feel like people doesn't feel like, oh, I need to learn a new thing for all this, like a new user interface. That is an effort to learn that. So with Instagram, it makes easy for me to connect to people. I know what's going on. It's a bit too creepy because it's more personal than Twitter. Now I know the insides of their house. I know the name of their pets. It's a bit too personal. At the same time, I get to know the science too. I get to know which conferences they are going. And for my K99 submission, I reached out to many people like that in my Instagram conference contacts, and they helped me. And
Oh, great.
it makes it more personal, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing,
So I mean that's a good point. So like with Instagram, I
Have
have
you seen
personal
my ducky, unicorn ducky?
I have a personal Instagram account. I don't post on it much, but I then have a professional Instagram account that I attempt to post more. And I always tell myself I should do more. That's my struggle. Just lab stuff, like photos around the lab, whenever we do stuff, go to dinner, have parties, or do social stuff, try to incorporate that so it advertises that aspect. But it's interesting to say, like, if you just incorporate all of that into one account. And so personal stuff, work stuff, kind of everybody sees
But
both.
then it's a personal preference, I would say, Because for me to manage two, three, I'm a lazy
It's
ass
an
to
yeah, it's a
manage.
pain. It's such a pain.
Yeah.
So
And then I can't do that. And I'm like, what you see is what you get.
what have
Yeah.
you started using, or what have you gone back to using to find, like, to keep up with new papers and published work?
I don't know. It's just Twitter with X, with all the misinformation going on, with all the, it's just so politicized. You know, one of the beauty of Twitter using then was it was a neutral space, you know, and you had, there had some, there was some, what is it? If people were assholes to you, there you can report, there is some meaningful actions taken against you. But, and AI, you know what I mean? There is so many variables right now. And personally, with my opinion, in my opinion, that company is not handling it well. And for me, at least, it's not trustworthy enough to or credible enough to, because science is built on credibility, right? These people are built on credibility. And for me personally, at least, that is completely mismanaged in many ways. And no, I just feel very icky when thinking about going there. But again, the problem of using other, what is it, other Mastodon, Blue Sky, all that, is this mental block, thinking that it's not about using that platform per se, but then it's this thing that, oh fuck, I have to learn how to, you know, like relearn an entire new world per se, how you like how you communicate with others, right? Learn a brand new paradigm altogether. Who has time for that? It's just so draining to even think about it. So Instagram is much more nicer in my perspective because it's very pictorial, you know, it just grabs your attention immediately. I've also seen, like, for example, Journal of Neuroscience, if they have, if they want to put some paper in the picture, they just put the key image, you know, the key IHC picture, or the key, what is it, the graphical abstract that gets information through immediately. Then you can read the comments, whatever.
Yeah, I think
It's good, but
it's a good point, 'cause you'd go to, like, you would rely on the, for example, the journals that you trusted and you kind of peruse the most to kind of get that information, like what's being published this week? Like, what's coming out in Journal of Neuroscience? What's coming out in Cell Biology, right? Kind of keeping up with their social medias to see what they're putting out. I mean, I've used like PubMed. You can set up alerts. I find is a pain in the ass, because it just feels like junk mail to me. Like, you can have it mailed to you like every Monday or whatever, like keywords, and update you. But then I end up
It's
just
so
like,
boring
I
to
just,
look at.
yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I ignore it unless I'm specifically looking for something. I end up ignoring it, and it just clutters my inbox. And I hate that, right? The other thing is like Google alerts, but it's the same kind of thing. It just ends up being like,
So mono, it just, even the user interface is depressing, you know. You go there and it's like,
I think it's just,
sure.
for me, it becomes either active searching for something. I want to know what's been published in this area. I'm going to put it in. I'm going to actively search and go through that. But I feel like the benefit of, like, what Twitter used to be and what you're saying, if more journals had Instagram accounts and would post their, like, publications like this, it becomes a passive way to kind of sort through that information, right? And the challenge, as we've alluded, is that so much information is coming out right now. Like, I feel immediately overwhelmed with any topic in neuroscience, even in the fields that I'm very integrated into, on like how much publications come out every single day. And it's just, maybe Twitter helped me feel a little more connected to the fact that certain publications would be retweeted a lot, and that would validate that this is one to, like, okay, invest energy into checking this one out, versus like, here's 25 papers Most of them you're not
Yeah.
going to care at all about because there's a keyword in there that you put in, but it's very difficult to not become exhausted just from trying to keep up with the literature. So, I mean, fortunately, when you have students, they will let you know when new papers come out too. I rely on that quite a bit. My students will be like, "Hey, this paper come out." We'll do journal club stuff in the lab meetings. And did you see this paper come out? And I fortunately have networks and contacts that'll email, they'll text me, right? "Man, this paper came out. Have you seen this?" And then that's how I know a huge paper has come out. But
But I think right now, like you were saying, it has become an active effort to be updated,
yes, and
right?
it sucks.
And and another thing, me personally, is that when I was doing stem cell research, right, I would only look at, I mean, of course, I can't look at all the journals that's been published everywhere. So I only look at what is it, let's say, three or like five or six of my favorite journals. I just go there. Again, I'm having a cup of tea, just scroll through them. But then the problem is, I only know what's happening in those journals. I would not know anything happening in the place that I wasn't looking. In Twitter, X, whatever. I felt like I kind of knew what was happening, like the feel, because people publish in all kinds of journal, right? And they put their paper out. Like, okay, this is going there. Might as well check it out. But right now, I feel like mine is much more restricted now.
I mean, I think there's a couple of pretty good podcasts that do a good job to their extent of like, weekly headline news. I wish there was more. I wish there's a couple of pretty good quality ones. A lot of the journals will put out like a weekly thing where they, some of them even interview the authors. I think that's great.
One, sorry,
Go
listen.
ahead. Go ahead.
No, one thing we didn't talk is TikTok on science.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we're in Texas, and if for listeners that don't know, Texas state institutions ban TikTok on campuses, meaning that you're technically not allowed to log in using like
Yeah.
state Wi-Fi. I mean,
And
maybe.
both of us are in state institutes.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I'm not on TikTok. I don't use it. I mean, I'm assuming there's a lot of young people that are using it, but I'm also assuming it fits a specific niche where it's not sharing data and it's not sharing science. It's just sharing like everyday things. Maybe education, right? But
I think I think it is a problem is a wrong word, but a conundrum of our generation of scientists, because scientists in previous generation, they didn't have to give two shits, two rats ass about all the social media and how to come in. Now, not only we have to do science, we have to communicate science, we have to know how to use all these different platforms, we have to know how to reach all these people. I feel like we are scientists, and also we have to be all the social media influencer to get our message across.
I don't think you have to be. I mean, I think it helps. But I think we're really going to go back to the traditional way, right? Meetings are going to become more important. I think one-on-one connections are never going to be devalued. I think we're always
Oh, yeah.
going to have a usefulness for that. I think as you said, these social media platforms may be a way to keep the connections, but I think making
Absolutely.
connections
Yeah.
are always going to be around.
I agree.
So I'm hoping it's I'm hoping something comes in and unifies it. So I'm curious, you keep mentioning that you're on a social media hiatus,
Yeah.
right?
Oh,
What
yeah. Hey, it
do
is
you
true.
want to share a little bit more about that? Like what
Oh no. Yeah.
instigated it or what you're trying to accomplish with it?
I just needed a break. I was looking at my Instagram, and I was like, "Do I really need to see your nude? Do I really need to see your ass? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's been so many things going on, and also with the election, with pretty much the world." Like, if you look at science, it's doom and gloom everywhere, with postdocs leaving, no funding. And if you look at the world everywhere, it's and with social media, I feel like because of this doom scroll thing. You can keep on consuming the same kind of media no matter how much time you spend there. And that kind of becomes a loop. And personally, it affected me a lot because it kind of, I don't know, it kind of, the more you consume bad news, the more you want to consume bad news. I don't know, it's kind of that curious state of mind, at least for me personally. And then I just thought, no, I'm just first wasting time, putting my mood into risk completely, putting my mood into, all kinds of things. And also, all these big things, I can't literally do anything about it. And what am I going to do? So it was, and another thing too, when all these postdocs, like I was telling you, right, in Instagram, that I met all these people, we are all friends and everything, rainbows and sunshines, whatever. No, what happened is, then again, I had the same problem with Twitter too. I start comparing my best to my worst to their best, right? When I am just at lab, not doing anything, or I'm having a bad day, and these people are in some conferences in Europe sipping a cocktail or presenting paper posters, and I started comparing myself to all that. Then I was like, no man, you really need to just prioritize things, And also, another thing that I was thinking, for a long time, I took a social media break during my PhD for 2, 3 years. Like, I didn't do anything. I was just Instagram, but that was a different Instagram, than I wasn't using Facebook or anything. But now I thought, after moving to US, I've never had a long time when I was off of social media. Then I thought, if there is a time to do it, this is the time. Are you an active social media user?
No,
What do
not
you
really.
usually use it for?
So I mean, mostly it's to keep up with family. I mean, so like Facebook, it's just I don't think I've friended anybody on Facebook in 10 years. Because it's mostly just family and close friends. And I share a lot of like pictures of my kids, pictures of family vacations, and then just so that, my mom can like I do have a lab Instagram, Blue Sky account, Twitter. I mean, I guess the Twitter X account is still available, but I don't post on it. But that's about it. I'm not a heavy, never have been. I'll get on Instagram and scroll, but it's very tailored towards like recipes and cocktails and bikes and
Beer.
just bike, like my hobbies, right? Keeping up with hobby stuff. So it's so, but I think I resonate where you're saying you just kind of like get circled into an echo chamber of like you don't. I also news outlets I try to intentionally diversify that with different left and right wing news outlets just so I'm kind of getting everything, but even then I don't use that for news, right? So it's just
One
kind
thing
of like
that
I think
did
the last few
happen.
years all of social media to me has kind of become less informative and just more brain fodder. It's this doom
Except
scrolling where it's
at
like, it's
one point,
not,
it just
I
becomes a
don't get
blur.
anything from it. It's just like people doing 5-minute crafts or somebody that made some shitty bookshelf out of IKEA furniture. And I'm like, I get bored with it so easily that I just don't engage with it. And I have so much other stuff going on. It's like, I don't even have time really.
You know, one thing that did happen, or is happening, is that after I left social media, or even my scientific Twitter, I started reaching out to people, like, actively. It's like, hey, how are you doing? Let's meet for coffee. Even with the postdocs in the institute, let's go, let's talk science, let's talk some crazy ideas. What are your dream? Let's say you have all the, what is it? You have all the money in the world, and you can do it, your dream experiments. What would it be? It's quite nice to have these conversations. But again, like you were saying, all this requires active effort. And this Twitter, science, scientific Twitter at least, somehow it just made it easier. Now you just need an active freaking effort to
Yeah.
keep up.
I think something will eventually come to
Oh,
light. I
yeah.
think there's enough benefit from it. We just it's not unified, and so then it like kind of dilutes the importance of it, but
I agree.
so I'm
Yeah,
curious. I
like
am
it's.
curious, especially so in terms of scientific ideas, like this whole idea, this concept that like ideas become recycled over and over and over again with certain pockets of social media, right? These echo chambers that we have seen have absolutely polarized our culture. Like, I'm very curious, and I'm sure somebody's looked into this on how maybe scientific ideas have done that, like where we may have gone on tangents, conceptual tangents, where they may not have necessarily done that in the first place, but like social media trends have picked up and Twitter trends have picked up, and people are like, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. I'm sure I have done that where I read a bunch of papers, found a bunch of people that I follow. I really like their work, and I start modeling what I'm doing towards theirs. I'm sure I've done it, right? And I'm very curious if what kind of in the last couple of years, what technology has been developed, what discoveries have been made that have been a result of that, and if we're going to see that change now that there's this dissolved academic Twitter tool. Right.
I don't know if it's related. I want to add on to something else. What do you think about this? Like, what is it? In Marvel Iron Man movie, they have he has this AI assistant, right? Who Jarvis.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, similarly for scientists with the AI boom that's happening now, what do you think about this AI assistants?
I don't want to get too much into this. I think we can do a whole other episode.
I think we should.
We
I think we
should, because I
should do
have a lot
that.
of thoughts on this. What I will say though, maybe what we can do is kind of wrap up the
I think
episode,
that's a very good
right?
cliffhanger to
But what I will say is, like, I think that actually may be the solution towards this information overload. And so I personally have really started experimenting with using like ChatGPT in order to pull out papers that I need to be reading. I don't know how good it is. That's the challenge, is like it'll come up with references. I feel like in the last 6 months, it's becoming more accurate.
I have
But
done that, but then so many references are fake as
so
fuck.
that alone, I think, is getting better. And I think in
Yeah.
a matter of no time, that is not going to be an issue. I think what needs to be really cautioned is, tell me about, find a bunch of publications on this topic, right? And it could easily be biased based on whatever that algorithm is trained on. So
Yeah.
it still may not get. So one thing I've noticed is it pulls open access resources a lot easier than non-open access resources. So there's a lot of journals that will be great papers. Let's talk CNS journals, Nature, Cell, and Science, that you have a paywall. And I think there's going to be a limitation in accessing those. Will that change how people publish? I hope it does, right? I hope people publish more open access, because it's possible. I mean, I use ChatGPT to get restaurant recommendations now. I bet restaurants are going to try to figure out a way to like game ChatGPT, so that if you're like, I want a restaurant that's in this area of town that serves this type of food that's open, then I can make this type of reservation, and you're going to be the first one it recommends, right? That's literally what Google had to go through 25 years ago. I think these AI bots are going to do the same thing. And I
I've
hope,
been thinking about it.
so I was going to say, I hope in terms of like, I need references that help me understand this concept, and it some can somehow pull out the most salient ones, not the 50 bullshit ones I don't want to have to read through, like the top couple ones, however it does that, that are critical to that field, like the one that showed this is the first time we've demonstrated this discovery, right? I want to find that a lot easier and a lot faster, because with the amount of information coming out now, It's getting very difficult and very time consuming to kind of digest that, right?
I agree. Yeah, I think that's a great place to stop this episode. That also leaves what is it, a
Okay.
cliffhanger for the next episode too. Yay!
All right.
There you
This
go.
was good. I mean, I we'll see.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
think
I think we
I
can
think
just
I
stop
got
it
to
from
vent a
here.
lot.
Yeah. I think we can just, if the meaty portion looks good, we can just add a hello clip and goodbye clip.
Okay.
Yeah. Alrighty, that's what's the time? Oh yeah, almost an hour.
Yeah.
Great.
So I think what we
Okay.
can do is try to shoot it for like 30. I think you said 30 minutes. I think that's good.
Yeah.
That'll be enough. People wanna.
Like, yeah, summertime around 30 to 40 minutes. Like around 30 minutes per se. Not an hour.
Yeah, maybe
Yeah, but around 30 minutes.
10 minutes for our sponsors to say a few words.
Bye. Goodbye.
Sponsored
That'll
by
be
my
cool.
pocketbook. Right.
I know. No, but if it goes well, we should talk to what is it, SFN and scientific. We can ask if we start getting good viewership, we can start get asking for like how you have panels discussions and everything, right? In SFN, like we can have a panel discussion and let's
Yeah,
see,
I'll
we
check it.
can.
So I'm going on Friday. That's where I'm heading out to
Oh
SFN.
yeah.
I'll actually kind of keep my eye out, see if there's any like SciComm panel, social
Yeah,
media,
yeah.
what's going on. I'm kind of curious how that's changed now
Yeah,
that
let me
the last
know.
time I went,
That
Twitter was not dead. People were active on
Friday to
Twitter. I'm going
Tuesday,
to,
is it?
yeah, Monday. I'm coming back on Monday.
Me and Jason are going to Vegas. I told you, quite excited about it. I'd
Yeah,
say.
that's fun.
Just seeing the battling robots.
Goku.
All
Well, take
right,
care.
Izzy. And when should be the next episode?
I think it's on the
In 2
calendar.
weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
All
think so. Yeah.
looks like the 15th, October 15th.
Yeah, 15th. Yeah, 15th at 12. Okay, maybe then towards sometime next week, we can just kind of send each other something regarding AI and science and what are we thinking all about that. Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. I'll see you there.
All right. Talk.
Bye. Have a good conference.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
I'll post it all on social media.
bye.
So you can see
Bye
tomorrow.
bye.